Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, we want to read verses 12 through 16 to introduce our lesson. Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse 12. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." In this particular part of his gospel, Matthew tells us about the beginning of the Lord's ministry. At the end of chapter 3, he wrote about the Lord's baptism. Jesus went to the Jordan to be baptized by John. John at first was hesitant. He said, "I need to be baptized of you, and you're coming to me." But Jesus said it was necessary for them to fulfill all righteousness, and then John baptized the Lord. The Spirit descended in the form of a dove and lit upon Jesus, and then there was a voice from heaven that said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Wouldn't it have been special to be there to hear that great voice? God Almighty spoke from heaven and identified Jesus as his beloved Son. He was well pleased in what he had done. As chapter 4 begins, though, we read about the Lord's temptation. The Spirit led Jesus out into the wilderness where he was tempted for a period of 40 days. Three of the temptations are recorded for our benefit. Now, Satan approached the Lord directly. I've been studying that temptation for years, and every time I studied, I learned something new. But I made this observation years ago. If Satan was not afraid to approach Jesus face to face, I need not think that he's going to be afraid of me. But while he does walk about as a roaring lion, he can be resisted. And Jesus gave us the key to resisting Satan on that occasion. He had the Word of God hidden in his heart. He applied it to the temptations that Satan placed before him. Consequently, Satan eventually gave up and left. Now, he came back, but one of the Gospels tells us that he departed for a season. And then, as we continue in the verses that we read just a moment ago, we see that Jesus went to Galilee, and it was in that area that he fulfilled much of his ministry. Now, he traveled around Palestine quite a bit, but much of his ministry was accomplished in that area known as Galilee. And then according to verse 17 of chapter 4, from that time, Jesus began to preach. So Matthew is telling us about the beginning of the Lord's ministry. He was baptized. He was tempted. He went to Galilee. He began to preach. But in our lesson, we want to concentrate for a little while on something that Matthew mentioned in verse 16 of Matthew 4. Matthew tells us that Jesus brought light into a world of darkness. That's a very important point, and we want to emphasize it today. Every once in a while, I'll think about the statement that John made. He said, "The whole world lives in wickedness." That pretty much describes the state of our world today, doesn't it? The whole world lives in wickedness. But even though that's the case, Jesus came to earth when the time was right according to God's time schedule. and he brought light into a world of darkness. We appreciate light coming into darkness, don't we? To illustrate the point, just the other day, Teresa and I were watching one of the home remodeling programs. That's something that we do quite often. I try to pick up little tidbits of information that will help when it comes to making repairs. But the particular home that had been purchased was like a dungeon. It was as dark as it could be. And I thought, how depressing. And the designer said, we've got to bring some light into this place. And he did. He changed the color of the walls, put in new windows, and the design allowed a lot of light to come in. It was like a different place. Well, we can appreciate light coming into darkness. Well, the world was in a pretty sad state when Jesus came, but when he came, he brought light into a world of darkness. The first point we need to make is that the scriptures emphasize that fact. There's a lot of attention placed in the Bible on the fact that Jesus brought light into a world of darkness. As a matter of fact, let's look at a prophecy made in Isaiah chapter 9. We want to read verses 1 and 2. Now, Isaiah served as a prophet of God around 700 B.C., and he wrote a great book of prophecy. He preached primarily to his own people. He was trying to get them to come back to God because they were in the process of wandering away. But he did prophesy in detail about the coming Son of God. Let's notice something that he wrote in Isaiah 9, verses 1 and 2. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. I've always found it interesting that Isaiah often wrote in the past tense concerning things that were going to occur in the future. In Isaiah 53, he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. He wrote in the past tense. But we know he was writing about the crucifixion of our Lord that would occur many years later. What's the significance of that? I believe that's God's way of letting us know that these things were going to come to pass. The writers wrote about them as if they had already taken place. So I want you to notice that Isaiah said the people in a certain area saw a great light. Now, if we only had that prophecy, I'm not sure we'd be able to figure out exactly who it was referring to. But Matthew helps us out. In the verses we read earlier, Matthew 4, Matthew tells us that Jesus fulfilled that great prophecy. Now he refers to the people living in the land belonging to Zebulun and Naphtali. Now those were two of the tribes of Israel. And to fully understand the point that's being made, we need to look at maps of Palestine from two different times. For example, you can look at the map of Palestine when that area was divided among the 12 tribes. And you will see that the land belonging to Zebulun and Naphtali were very close to the Sea of Galilee. Now, as times passed, as years passed, the land was divided a little differently. That same area eventually was known as Galilee. So the writer is talking about the same area, at one time that area belonged to the people of Naphtali and Zebulun, two of the tribes of Israel. But as years passed, that area was known as Galilee. But what was Isaiah telling us? He was telling us that the people in that very area would be blessed in that they would see a great light. That's where Jesus fulfilled much of his ministry. He went from place to place, preaching and healing people, doing what God sent him to do. It's hard for me to imagine just how many people the Lord reached during his ministry. As a matter of fact, at the conclusion of his gospel, John tells us that it would not have been possible to record all of the great events involving our Lord. He said the world would not contain all of the volumes that could be written. Our Lord's ministry lasted for a little over 3 years, and during that time he reached many people. Jesus did indeed bring light into a world of darkness. Now, Matthew, in chapter 4 of his gospel, quotes what we read from Isaiah chapter 9. And he shows that when Jesus went into that area, he fulfilled that very special prophecy. In other words, it was prophesied ahead of time that Jesus would bring light into that particular area, and then he did. Now, I'll just pass something on to you free of charge. I learned it from somebody else. Some prophecies in the Bible are a little challenging. But when you have a New Testament inspired writer saying this is that which was spoken by the prophet, and he quotes the prophecy, you know that's the fulfillment of it. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to guess about it. Matthew tells us that when Jesus began his ministry in Galilee, he fulfilled that prophecy that was made by Isaiah in chapter 9 of his great book of prophecy. Well, we're showing that the scriptures emphasize the fact that Jesus brought darkness, or brought light into a world of darkness. Let's turn to Luke chapter 1 for a moment. Luke chapter 1, we want to consider something that was actually said by a man named Zacharias. Now, if you're not familiar with him, he was the father of John the Baptist. And it was revealed that his wife was going to have a child. They were both way up in years. So Zacharias questioned that. Because he questioned it, the angel Gabriel caused him not to be able to speak. Well, Elizabeth was pregnant, and she eventually gave birth to John. Now, the child had to be named, so it was suggested that he be named after his father. His mother said, not so. His name is going to be John. So they asked Zacharias about that. Now, he couldn't speak, so he got a writing table. They said, what's his name? He said, his name is John, because that's what they were informed ahead of time. At that point, he was able to speak. Now, Zacharias offered a message of praise on that occasion. I won't take the time to read all of it. But let's notice that as he was talking about the birth of John, he referred to Jesus. Now, John was going to serve as the forerunner of Jesus. Luke chapter 1, let's begin at verse 76. Now, this is Zacharias speaking. And thou, child, speaking of John, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us to give light to them that sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Certainly seems to me that Zacharias was applying the prophecy from Isaiah to our Lord when John was born. He talked about light coming into darkness. Well, eventually Jesus was born. He was taken to Jerusalem to be presented unto God. And I want you to notice something that a man named Simeon had to say. Let's turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and let's begin at verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Now Simeon was led by the Holy Spirit. And I want you to notice that he referred in reference to our Lord's birth. Seems to me that he was referring to that prophecy made years earlier in Isaiah chapter 9. About the Lord bringing light into a world of darkness. Well, we're still emphasizing the fact that the scriptures emphasize how Jesus brought light into a world of darkness. Let's turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, let's begin at verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. I remember years ago in school, I had the opportunity to study the Gospel of John. The teacher made this observation, that John placed special emphasis on certain words in his writings. One of those words was light. He mentions it over and over again. Here at the beginning of his gospel, he identified Jesus as the true light. Well, he came into a world of darkness. He brought light to it. You know, the scriptures place a lot of emphasis on the fact that Jesus brought light into a world of darkness. Since the scriptures mention this so many times, it just seems to me that it deserves our careful attention. The Bible is placing special emphasis on the fact that Jesus brought light into a world of darkness. Let's turn our attention to some things that the Lord himself said about this matter. As we do so, Let's go to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. We first want to look at what Jesus said in verse 5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, we've considered what others have said about Jesus bringing light into a world of darkness. Now we're looking at what he said himself. He said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. That's interesting that in connection with that particular statement, Jesus performed one of his great miracles. He gave sight to a man who was born blind. A man who came into a world of darkness, that's all he'd ever known. He was blessed in that Jesus gave him his sight. Now, we'll read about that in just a moment. But as you examine the Gospel of John, you will see that Jesus had many things to say about his identity. And in connection with those statements, he sometimes performed great miracles. For example, he said, I am the bread of life. How did he prove that? Well, he fed about 5,000 men with just a handful of food. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. In connection with that, he brought Lazarus out of the grave. Well, on this occasion, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Let's read about that great miracle. John 9, let's start at verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Sometimes when I study passages in the Bible, I try to imagine what it would have been like to be present when these things took place. I would like to have observed that man's behavior after he went and washed and then returned able to see. I just suspect he was very happy. No doubt he had heard about things all of his life, but he'd never seen anything. He was born blind. And now, for the first time in his life, he was no longer in a world of darkness. He knew what light was all about. Well, who gave it to him? Well, it was our Lord. Jesus demonstrated how he is the light of the world by giving sight to this man who was born blind. Well, the Lord certainly brought light into that man's life. And that brings us to our next point that we want to consider. Jesus explained how we receive the light that he came to provide. He brought light into a world of darkness. Well, we need that light. How do we receive it? I think we can learn a lot from that man that was healed, who was given his ability to see. He did what the Lord told him to do, and he was able to see. Let's look at John chapter 3. John chapter 3, let's begin at verse 16. Now, earlier on this occasion, Jesus had talked to Nicodemus about the new birth, and he showed that in order to enter the kingdom, one must be born of water and of the Spirit. He went on to talk about some additional matters. I know that you're familiar with verse 16. We've all had this memorized for years. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, let's continue. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Jesus indicated on this occasion that we must certainly believe on him, and we must come to the light. That's a very important responsibility. The Lord is the giver of light, we understand that. But he also gives us certain requirements for receiving the light that he came to give. We must certainly believe on him, and we must come to the light. You know, we have to appreciate light for what it is. It's sad, but many people love darkness. But we have to love the light. We need to appreciate it, and we need to come to the Lord on his terms to receive it. John 8 and verse 12. Now, we're letting the Lord explain to us how we receive the light that he came to provide. John 8 and verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Now, Jesus said on this occasion that we must become his followers. That's not something that's done by accident. It requires making a choice. And then it requires commitment to comply with the Lord's will. Earlier we read from John chapter 9 when Jesus gave sight to the man who was born blind. I'm concerned that some people would have argued with the Lord when he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Those instructions are so plain and so simple, you'd have to have help to misunderstand them. But you know, that dear man didn't argue. He didn't offer an excuse. He didn't try to come up with an alternative plan. Bible says he went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. What faith! He simply complied with the Lord's instructions, and for the first time in his life, he was not in darkness. Let's turn to John chapter 12. John 12, let's start at verse 44. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Here our Lord said that we must believe on him, and we must also believe on the Father. Now, the Bible teaches that belief includes obedience to the Lord's will. Over and over again, Jesus emphasized compliance with his will. And when we simply do what he wants us to do through faith, he'll bless us with that very special light. Number of times when Jesus was asked about certain matters, he'd go all the way back to the beginning. He was asked about marriage. What did he do? He went all the way back to the beginning. Well, what about this matter of light? Let's go all the way back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. God created the earth. Notice something that existed. There was darkness. Now you read about the various things that God created in the remainder of chapter 1. I want you to notice item number 1 on the list. There was darkness upon the face of the deep. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. When darkness exists, there's a need for light. Now, I think it's interesting that when God made the earth, there was darkness, and God took care of it. He provided light. Well, sin caused the world to be in spiritual darkness. And once again, God provided light. Now, he did it in a different way on this occasion. When the time was right, God provided light by sending his Son as the light of the world. Once again, John pretty much describes the condition of our world. The whole world lies in wickedness. There's darkness. But Jesus came to bring light. And if we will come to him on his terms, not only will he bless us with light in this life, but in the life to come, there will be no darkness, only light. Have you come to the Lord to receive the light that he gives? If not, we would encourage you to take care of that very special matter even today. If you'd like to respond to the invitation, please do so as we stand and sing the first verse of the psalm that's been selected.